This is the Santina Jackson Show.
Determined, unstoppable, achieving the impossible. We're standing tall with our heads held high. We are victorious.
Good morning, Chicago. This is the Santina Jackson Show. I am filling in for the iconic, sensational, dynamic, just beautiful, lovely, and definitely talented Santina Jackson. This is Jerry Riles. For the next 2 hours, ladies and gentlemen, I will be gracing the airways of WCPT 820 AM. And I'm certainly going to need your support and welcome your support. And the way you can support me is give me a call at 773-763-9278, 773-763-WCPT. Jerry Riles for the next 2 hours, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Happy Wednesday to all of you out there, and looking forward to an outstanding day. The temperatures are expected to hover somewhere in the mid, maybe upper 70s. Here in the Chicagoland area. So sunny skies. We've been having some pretty pleasant days over the past few days here. And I've been loving it. I've simply been loving it. Almost picture perfect days as far as the weather is concerned. Again, in the 70s, blue skies with a little bit of sun here and there. The wind's really mild. But yesterday, I can say to you, and of course, all of you in the Chicagoland area and thereabouts, know that that storm came in yesterday afternoon about 2 o'clock or after, and it did a little bit of damage. There's no question about it. I think up in Will County, Manuka, they had some damages done there. I know that there is a tree that fell on DuSable Lake Shore Drive yesterday to stop traffic there. So, yeah, the storms definitely rolled in and wreaked some havoc here in the Chicagoland area. But for all practical purposes, it's been pretty pleasant the past few days, and hopefully we'll have a pleasant day today. And we want you to have a fantastic day as well. And we want to kick it off and jumpstart it with you and for you on the Santina Jackson Show. Again, Jerry Riles here. I want to say to the Jackson family and, of course, Santina, our prayers and thoughts are certainly with you and the family, the Reverend Jesse L. Jackson Sr. and, of course, his beautiful wife, Jacqueline. If you guys haven't heard, if you're not updated, they came down with COVID. And the Reverend was vaccinated, but Miss Jackson was not vaccinated, and she was actually in ICU, Northwestern Hospital. She's been moved from ICU to a normal room now, but they're still, taking precautions, and the medical staff there are definitely monitoring their progress and their health. And again, let's hope that they can get back to speedy recovery and get back to some normalcy and definitely continue to make a positive impact, not only within their family, but within the Chicagoland area and, of course, across this beautiful country we call the Grand United States of America. And I just say that the family, all in all, are just fantastic individuals, fantastic group of people. And it is some big shoes for me to fill, no question about it. Santina Jackson, we go back way, way back. And I've been knowing Santina and the family for quite some time. So it was devastating, disappointing, and shocking and scary to hear when both Mr. and Mrs. Reverend Jesse O. Jackson Sr. Came down with COVID-19. And I want all of you out there listening who have not been vaccinated yet and who are still skeptical of the vaccination, you got to get it. You certainly have to get it. And it's for me, it's not a political stance. It's not a political stage. It's about protecting yourself and protecting your family and your loved ones. And there are just too many stories that I've been seeing on the news channels over the past few months where there have been people, especially down in those states, when you talk about Texas and you talk about Florida and other parts of the country, where there have been people who have said, hey, you know what? I'm not getting it. I'm not taking it. It's not real. And then, of course, a family member come down with it. They're hospitalized. And in some instances, unfortunately, they succumb to the virus. Others have been able to make it out, but it was a long recovery process for them. But the simple fact they didn't get the vaccine and they didn't believe in it because they just felt that it was a made up virus until it hit home. And I'm here to say I urge all of you out there in the WCPT family to definitely, if you have not gotten the vaccine, definitely you have to get it. You should get it. There are more variants popping up. The Delta variant is the most prominent right now, but there are variants popping up. And of course, we're approaching the flu season. So, yeah, you may have your doubts. You may be skeptical about it, but it's better to be safe than sorry. And of course, the medical expenses that goes along with this and the overwhelming reaction to the healthcare workers and the medical staff in these hospitals. They don't even have enough beds because so many people are coming in and the numbers are moving up. So I urge all of you out there who are on the fence and believe that this is, and I came across a group of individuals maybe about 2 weeks ago who said that this was a fictitious disease when the mandate was enforced and mask wearing inside the first day. There was a group, maybe about 3 to 5 individuals, young guys, probably in their early to mid 30s, young professionals. You can tell that they, you know, were established or establishing their careers. They were, I would suspect, making a decent amount of money, and they were confident in themselves. They were young and vibrant. And they felt that, you know what, I'm entering into this facility, this establishment, this business. I don't want to wear this mask. And when they were told by management and owners of the facility, they were like, you mean that fictitious disease? And I nearly fell over when I heard that, and I couldn't believe it. But that's the mindset. That's the thought process that a lot of people still have in this country and in this city, that this COVID-19, this virus, is a fictitious, made-up disease. And again, until it squarely hits you right in the face, hit you at home, and you don't want it. You don't want it. But until that happens to some folks, they simply don't believe it. But again, I'm here to tell you, all of you, and I usually say the public service announcement, it's very important for you to get it. It just simply is. Because you don't want the alternative. I heard a clergyman maybe about a couple weeks ago say, hey, listen, get the vaccine, because if you don't, just lay down in the bed right there, because in a matter of time, the Undertaker is going to be there to take you out. So it's either get the vaccine or just lay down in your bed or on your couch and wait for the Undertaker to come, because he'll be there soon to take you out. It's nothing to play with. It really isn't. So it's an honor and a pleasure to have the opportunity to sit in the big seat of this Miss Santita Jackson on the Santita Jackson Show on this Wednesday. Is it Paul Shivari is our executive producer. He's driving the ship here, and I'm certainly pleased to be across the board from him and welcome him to join him on the Santita Jackson Show. This is Wednesday, September 9th, correct?
That's September 8th.
September 8th. I'm getting ahead of myself. September 8th. Yeah, it's Wednesday hump day here in the great city of Chicago. And Paul, it's good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
How you doing?
Doing great. Doing great. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic for the most part. Also, for those of you who may not be familiar, be aware, my mom just passed away, not from COVID, some other health issues, but she just passed away on August 28th. And we just said goodbye to her last Friday. And getting through the process, it's very hard. It's a day-to-day process, and I've had many of people. Those of you who have your moms with you, please, please, again, like the vaccine, I urge you to spend as much time as you can with your mom. Love her as much as you can, and cherish the moments and the memories, because when it happens, it's always unexpected, and it's always surreal, unbelievable that your mom is no longer with you. And I've had some friends who have lost their mothers, and they were telling me the same thing. Honor your mother. Pay close attention to her. Spend time and cherish those moments, because when she's gone, she's gone. And there's no turning back. So I miss my mom already, and I pray for her, and I just hold on to the fond memories. But I want to share that with you guys as well, you know, to cherish and honor your mother. And she's still with you. Do all you can. For those of you who have lost your parent, your mom, just like I have, God bless you. Continue to cherish the moments and the memories that you have of her, and live a life that you certainly believe she will want you to live, and what she, how she taught you to live. All right. Certainly want to get that out to you. But I do want to congratulate you. If you don't know, I am the host and executive producer of the Rewind Sports 60. It aired on WCPT 820 AM since March 10th, 2019. So more than 2 years here at WCPT, and we've taken a little hiatus, as they say, from the station and from the show, although our Roku channel is still up and about. But I'm pleased to say that, and we were on Sundays 6 to 7 p.m., and I say that I'm happy to hear that Paul Shivari, our great producer Devin Tingle of the Rewind Sports 60, and Michael Mercado, along with the marvelous one Dan Marver, you guys will continue to carry the time slot and carry the sports talk conversation here at WCPT. And I want to say congratulations to you, and I'm proud of you. I guess you debuted last week the Sports Cubicle.
That's correct.
Tell us a little bit about it, Paul Shivari.
Well, we're just keeping the chair warm for you. That's it. We're waiting for you to come back and take it back from us, because that's really the only person that deserves that time slot is you and your cast and crew. But I think we're just kind of picking up where you left off. You know, this is a progressive talk radio station, but there are issues in the sports world to talk about, and it's also sometimes good to have that distraction away from some of the things that stress us out and some of the politics of the day.
Yeah.
You know, we will address social issues in sport, but at the same time, it's just nice sometimes to just kind of vent about how the Bears are doing, or enjoy this White Sox run that's going on, or hope that the Hawks or the Bulls are going to get good again. So it's we're just keeping it warm while you're gone.
No, I love you guys, and I appreciate that. And kudos to the management team here at WCPT. Mark Penske, the general manager, and of course Matt and all the team here do a fantastic job. So I'm glad the opportunity is presented to you guys, and I'm sure you guys will do a fantastic job. And of course, if anybody misses any portion of the Sports Cubicle Sunday 6 to 7 p.m., they can certainly check it out on the WCPT Facebook page, all the social media outlets for yours truly, Paul Shivari, Devin Tingle, Michael Mercado, and not the marvelous one, because he's not social media savvy, but and we'll certainly carry it on our Roku channel, the Rewind Sports 60 Roku channel. Before we get into our big show and our great show, I guess Santita Jackson has like an inspirational type of segment that she does for her audience, her listeners. And today we're going to take a page from that, but we're going to do it Jerry Ryle style. And if you want, just trigger the motivational message for today.
Clarkism. Wisdom Wednesday by the creative thought scientist. Want wisdom? Here you go. There's no cape required. You don't need a special seat, a title, or a superhero name. You just need to tap into that discipline, that love, that spirit, that passion, that soul, that ma'at and purpose inside you to create your life and a better world today. No cape required. Go get it. I'm your guy, D. Clark, motivated and blessed. Soak it up.
I am. That's my guy, D. Clark. Ladies and gentlemen, Daryl Clark does a fantastic job of motivating himself and as well as his followers. And he's out of New York. He works with Enos Wallace Company out of New York. And he is a personal friend of myself and my wife, Lisa, and the family. And he sends inspirational, motivational messages out every single day. And I jumpstart my day with that motivation, inspirational message that he just shared with you. And I wanted to share that with you as well, because, you know, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It really doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, we all have to answer to, in my opinion, the supreme being, the supreme guy. So, you may wake up and, have a bad attitude. I can't imagine having a bad night because you're sleeping. But you may wake up with a bad attitude or a bad taste in your mouth. Someone left the previous day. But always be thankful for the fact that you were able to wake up in the morning and put your 2 feet on the floor and get up and move around. Always be thankful. And what I try to do is get that motivational message inside of me when I wake up in the morning to jumpstart my day, because I know whatever I'm facing. I worked with a guy back in the day down in Champaign, Illinois, morning jock, and he would always ask me, how I'm doing. I asked him how he's doing, and he said, worse than some, better than others. And I was like, that was a thought to ponder, something to ponder. Worse than some, better than others. And that's the whole point. There's always somebody out there that may be doing a little bit worse than you are. So whatever you're complaining about, whatever you're griping about, just be thankful. Just be grateful and just be thankful, because the situation could be a lot worse. And again, D. Clark, motivational message. He certainly puts it out there for me, and I want to share that with you as well. 22 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, September 8th, hump day. The Santita Jackson Show, Jerry Riles filling in. And I got to give you a lineup as far as who we have. We normally do headlines, correct, Paul Shavarbi? We have some headlines. But I want to let you know what our show looks like for the two-hour block that we have in here. And it's a little bit uncharacteristic as far as Santita Jackson Show is concerned, because your listeners, her listeners, they know, the protocol, they know the lineup, they know the schedule, the rundown, how everything looks. But, we're going to throw a little bit of twist in there because my background is in sports, and I love sports, and I call myself the number one Chicago sports fan. And we're looking forward to the Chicago Bears kicking off against the L.A. Rams on Sunday night to kick off the 2021 season. As Paul Shavarbi talked about, we talk about the X's and O's of the games and the inside dynamics and everything surrounding the game. But we also talk about sports from a social standpoint that affects you. Obviously, over the past few years, the big topic of discussion in the National Football League was Colin Kaepernick and, all the protesting and the kneeling and all of those things. So we do talk about the social issues regarding the world of sports away from the court, the field, the baseball diamond. We got a great show on tap for you. Great guest lineup. They're always great. Even with Santita Jackson, the fantastic shows that she has and all the fantastic guests that grace these airwaves Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. But today's show, we're going to have an opportunity to talk to the late great brother. Well, he's not the late great, but the late great Walter Payton, the brother of Walter Payton. Eddie Payton's going to join us coming up shortly. I think we're going to have a timeout at the bottom of the hour, but he's going to join us, ladies and gentlemen, not necessarily to talk so much about the Bears and the NFL and the start of the 2021 season, but there's a topic that I threw out maybe a few months ago on the Rewind Sports 60, and it's related to his brother who passed away, Walter Payton, regarding ownership with the Chicago Bears. I put out there and pitched that I believe the Chicago Bears should consider and seriously think about offering 1% ownership to the Walter Payton family, that being Connie Payton, his lovely wife, and his two children, Jarrett Payton and Brittany Payton. And I haven't talked to them about it at all, and I don't even know if they're interested at all, but I believe the services that Walter Payton contributed to the Chicago Bears and what he was able to do, not only for the franchise, the city of Chicago, but the National Football League with the Man of the Year award, I truly believe that because of what he's been able to do, not only when he was with us, but of course, in spirit, since he's left us, that the Bears family, the McCaskey family, would do honor and justice to the Payton family and Walter Payton by offering them 1% ownership. Eddie Payton, a brother of the late, great Walter Payton, will be joining us after the bottom of the hour to talk about that subject matter. This young lady, I love her to death. She's fantastic, and I was ecstatic. I was beside myself, and I was doing cartwheels and flips. And if anybody knows me, I'm 59 years of age, and if you see me do a cartwheel or flip, you're going to be calling the paramedics 911 and say, is Jerry okay? Because I'm not in the shape that I used to be, but she got me to do cartwheels and flips. Tanya Francisco, WGN Channel 9, will be joining us at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. She is the new host of the new show, Daytime Chicago. I was ecstatic to hear her being named to that that role. It's a little bit uncharacteristic of what her background is, but Tanya Francisco will be joining us on our hotline on the Santita Jackson Show. And, of course, a good friend of the program, I love him to death as well, Dr. Gerard McClendon will be joining us before we say goodbye at 8 o'clock. We're going to talk about the Jackson Park Golf Course. Tiger Woods and his team are planning to revamp, renovate, so to speak, the Jackson Park, the historic Jackson Park Golf Course. We don't know what's going on. We don't know the plans. We've seen the layout. We've heard stories back and forth regarding the city, regarding the union, regarding the community. But Dr. Gerard McClendon, associate professor at Chicago State University, will be joining us to talk a little bit about that and get his perspective on how he sees things moving forward. I'm Jerry Riles here, filling in for the sensational Santita Jackson on the Santita Jackson Show on this Wednesday. It's the 8th, right?
That's correct.
It's September 8th, man. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable, really, Paul Shavari. It's already, I was talking with some friends, it's like, this weekend is going to be mid-September.
Mm-hmm.
It's already mid-September. It's like I just blinked. And I'm in mid-September already. Time moves fast.
And when you know the NFL season starting up this week and how quick that goes, before you know it, it's going to be Christmas time.
No, here's the scary thing. You're absolutely right. It's going to be Christmas time. But here's the scary thing. I was in one of the stores. I don't know if it was, I don't go to Target, but it was in Walmart, or I don't really go to the store that much. But I was in some store. And I actually saw items for Halloween.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute. And this is late August. I'm like, wait a minute. It's August and there's things for Halloween already?
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's
yeah, as soon as back to school's done, just
it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But ladies and gentlemen, again, welcome to the Santita Jackson Show, Jerry Riles. And if you have any comments, anything you want to talk about, one thing we do on our sports shows, we open the phone lines up. You can talk about anything in the world of sports. Here today, this morning, on this Wednesday hump day, you can talk about anything in the world of politics, news, sports, whatever the social issues, whatever the case may be. Our number here, 773-763-9278, 773-763-WCPT. It's Jerry Riles. Paul Shavari driving the bus. We're going to take a short time out, and we'll be joined by the fantastic, outstanding Eddie Payton, former NFL player, brother of the late, legendary, awesome, best running back in the National Football League, Eddie Payton. Santita Jackson Show, WCPT. More coming up right after this short time out.
McKinnon in motion. Payton got blockers. And he has a touchdown.
This is the Santita Jackson Show.
We are victorious. Welcome back to the Santita Jackson Show. 27 minutes to the top of the hour. Yours truly, Jerry Riles, filling in for the lovely, talented, outstanding Santita Jackson on this September 8th, Wednesday morning. Good morning, Chicago. Good morning, Illinois. Good morning, world. It's the Santita Jackson Show. Jerry Riles wants you to be a part of it. Our number here is 773-763-9278, 773-763-WCPT. Make a great day of it, ladies and gentlemen. Go out and make somebody happy. Go out and make somebody proud. Go out and do something respectable to make this a better place, a better world where we live. I'm hoping to try to do that in the best I possibly can. Paul Shavari, our executive producer on the other side, running the ship here. And you heard the highlights of the former great announcer Dick Enberg calling a Walter Payton clip. And that's from NBC way back in the day. Way back in the day.
1984.
Yeah. Wow. 1984. Even before the Bears won. Man, you went back in the archives and grabbed that one, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Way before the Chicago Bears won the Super Bowl 20 in 1985. But the late, great Walter Payton, may he certainly rest in peace and stay in our hearts. We love him. And I personally carry the banner for him and carry the flag because I truly believe the many years that I've been on this planet and watching pro football, Walter Payton certainly was, in my perspective, the greatest football player of all time. I know Jim Brown was there for many of you. I know that Emmitt Smith, you know, he eclipsed the record of Walter Payton for the all-time leading rusher in the National Football League. I know Barry Sanders, for you Detroit Lions fans out there, you know, you watched his illustrious career, but he clearly took a page from Walter Payton. And I say he's the greatest for the simple fact that Walter Payton was not the biggest, player out there on the football field as far as height was concerned. He hovered around, I believe, 200 pounds, 202, 205 pounds as a running back. But that was when running backs were really grinding and pounding. And the grinding and the pounding that Walter Payton endured over his illustrious career. But to see the fact that he came to the franchise out of Jackson State when the Bears were literally simply horrific. They were terrible. We loved them because they were our team, the Chicago Bears, but and they fought hard, but they weren't the best football team. And Walter Payton brought a breath of fresh air to Chicago, to the Windy City, and he literally put the team on his back and carried it. And, of course, he was rewarded along with the players, their franchise, and the organization for winning that Super Bowl. So he came when we were basically nothing, and that's why we love him, and that's why we put the tag "the greatest of all time" on his name, for the simple fact that he was a Chicagoan. Even though he wasn't born and raised here, the city welcomed him and embraced him because Walter Payton rolled up his sleeves. He got his lunch hat, his lunch bucket, and he went to work. And that's all he did was went to work. And, of course, he reached the top of the mountain, winning the Super Bowl. And, unfortunately, he didn't get a chance to score a touchdown in the Super Bowl. And, you know, we've had Mike Dicka on the show, the Rewind Sports 60, to give him a hard time about that because, you know, that's like the cherry on the top. Or as Reggie Jackson would say with the Yankees back in the day, he's the straw to stir the drink. Walter Payton, he's the greatest of all time. But the reason we are talking about Walter Payton, and we should always talk about Walter Payton, with the things that are happening here in the great city of Chicago, and you know, whether it's you know, changing Lakeshore Drive to DuSable Lakeshore Drive, or whether it's, you know, the monuments that are coming down, and, you know, Black Lives Matter, all we went through last year. You know, in the world of sports, there are people that have done incredible things, not only on the field, but off the field. And Walter Payton is one of those individuals who I truly believe name should live forever because of what he's done, been able to do in his short life on this this planet. Of course, for the fans and the organization and the franchise, but things that he's had done off the field, the contributions and the charities, and just to shake someone's hand or to give an autograph. He was one of a kind. There's no question about it. But we talk about it for the simple fact that I truly believe with the Chicago Bears, their worth today, 2021, and we pulled this piece from the Chicago Sun-Times back on August 6th of 2021, the Associated Press, says Forbes values Bears at $4.075 billion. This is what the headline says. The Forbes magazine values Bears, Chicago Bears, at $4.075 billion, a 16% increase over last year. 16% increase over last year. That's what the NFL team is worth, your Chicago Bears. And I put the question out there, the topic out there earlier this year, and we had the his brother on, Eddie Payton, who's joining us on the Santita Jackson Show this morning on this Wednesday, Eddie Payton. But I truly believe in my heart that the Bears franchise, the McCaskey family, should extend an offer to the Walter Payton family. That'd be Connie Payton, Brittany Payton, Jared Payton, and offer them 1% ownership of the franchise. Now, some people look at me and go, what, are you crazy? Why would a team do that? Why would they even consider that? Sure, they honor Walter Payton with the Man of the Year award. Sure, they've done well by the Payton family. But in the times that we're living in, and especially the contributions that this man had brought to the franchise when it was, they were terrible. They were terrible. And what they're doing regarding his name, even today, the good Lord struck me and said, hey, listen, Jerry, put it out there. The McCaskey family, the franchise, should offer the Payton family 1% ownership. And again, as of August 6, 2021, Forbes magazine values the Bears at $4.075 billion, a 16% increase over last year. Paul Shavari, how much is that 1% of $4 billion?
$40 million.
$40 million. $40 million. They got a 16% increase just last year. $40 million. We're pleased to welcome on the Santita Jackson Show on this Wednesday the brother of the great late Walter Payton. He joins us. He's Eddie Payton. Eddie, good morning to you. How are you? Welcome to the Santita Jackson Show, my good friend.
Good morning, Jerry. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, man, I'm doing fantastic. The good Lord said, hey, Jerry, you can get up, put your feet on the floor, and you can walk across it and let your will be done and see what you can do to make an impact in this world. And Eddie Payton, it's a pleasure to get a chance to talk with you and see if we can make an impact, man. I appreciate you picking up the phone and joining me.
Well, you know what? There's no place I'd rather be than on a radio show talking to the greatest voice in the land.
You hear that, Stephen A. Smith? He said the greatest. Hey, man, I appreciate that. Eddie, I know you're a very busy man, and you rise and shine, brother. And I do appreciate you taking some time out to join me on the program, WCPT 820 AM here in Chicago. Eddie, you know, we've talked about this before, and I wanted to bring it up again, and definitely wanted to have you on to talk with the listeners here in the Chicagoland area. Again, share your thoughts when I pitched the idea and presented the idea to you that I truly believe that the Chicago Bears should offer the Walter Payton family, and again, we talk about Connie, Jared, and Brittany, 1% ownership of the franchise because of the contributions that your brother made to the organization, to the franchise, to the National Football League, and to the city of Chicago. Your thoughts on my thoughts?
Well, you know, I personally agree with you, but unfortunately, you know, the NFL is a closed fraternity, and all the owners stick together and support each other. And I am unfortunately that the Bears, if they step forward and do what most of us think they should do, even at you know, 1% ownership, it would be making a statement to National Football League, but it should be, and hopefully it would start a trend of in the league that guys who put teams on their back, do it the right way, should be rewarded for eternally for what they've done, if they've done it the right way. And I'm one who thinks that Walter definitely did it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Mississippi, but he was adopted by the fans in Chicago because of his work ethic. Not what he did, but the way he went about doing it, and he never lost that home touch. That you can talk to me. I'm not special. I'm just Walter.
That's exactly right. We're on with, and I'm going to give you a former name. He's Eddie Payton, but his birth name is Edward Charles Payton Jr. And as you mentioned, out of Columbia, Mississippi, he's a former American Football League running back and kick returner who played five seasons in the National Football League from 1977 to 1982 for the Cleveland Browns, Detroit Lions, Kansas City Chiefs, and Minnesota Vikings. He also played in the Canadian Football League. He is the older brother of the late Chicago Bears running back, the great Walter Payton, the uncle of Brittany Payton, and the uncle of the current WGN-TV sports anchor, Jarrett Payton, joining us on the Santita Jackson Show. You know, it's interesting, Eddie, and again, we appreciate you taking some time out to join us on the show on this Wednesday. It's interesting because I just saw Deion Sanders, and congratulations to him as the head coach of Jackson State, correct? Your former stomping grounds, correct?
Well, yeah, Deion is now leading the Tigers on the gridiron, and we're wishing him all the success possible because, you know, if you're not rooting for Jackson State, then you really don't appreciate college.
There you go. There you go. And I bring up Deion Sanders because he was in a photo op with the great Earl Campbell, who played with the Houston Oilers and Bum Phillips way back in the day. And you remember, of course, the reckless running style that Earl Campbell possessed on the football field. But Earl Campbell is wheelchair bound. I think he has a motorized wheelchair that, you know, he uses and needs to get around daily, and of course, I'm guessing and believing it stems from his playing days in the National Football League, and I believe that's the example that you're sharing with us of former players who gave their guts and glory to the game, only to in the twilight years of their life having to resort to physical mishaps. They have to either wheelchair bound or, you know, God forbid, CTE or, you know, dementia. There's so many other things that are happening with these players after they leave the sport of football. Talk about some of those things that you've seen from former players today.
Well, I mean, you're in Chicago and everybody can remember the way Walter played. But you got a player there now, Steve McMichaels, who's going through some physical limitations because of the way he played the game of football. We always tell people, you play football, you get in harm's way. If you get in harm's way, you're going to get hurt. I mean, it's an occupational hazard, but guys who go out, lay it on the line, for the enjoyment and financial reward that the owners get. I mean, once they're out of the game, it's like, you know, when you are part of the game, you're part of the family. When you're out of the game, you're on your own, regardless of why you're out. And, you know, most athletes were lucky enough or fortunate enough or even blessed enough to play in the National Football League. The average life expectancy, I mean, career span
mm-hmm.
in the NFL is only 3.8 years unless you're a quarterback or left tackle.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you need 4 years to be looking at retirement benefits down the road. So you have more guys who play the game and play it well that don't make it to retirement. And those guys, because of their physical limitations, are out trying to make it on their own, and because of their pride, because of the pride that they have in themselves and what they did, are not seeking help. And the league is not providing help for guys who are not vested in the retirement system.
It's unbelievable. We're on with the Eddie Payton, the brother of the great late Walter Payton, joining us on the Santita Jackson Show, WCPT 820 AM, talking about the Chicago Bears. Their worth as a National Football League, as a business, Forbes values Bears at $4.075 billion, a 16% increase over last year. And Paul Shavari, that measure out 1% if the Bears extended an offer to the Payton family. And again, let me say this, ladies and gentlemen, the Walter Payton family, they have nothing to do with this. This is just an idea that popped into my head earlier this year because of the contributions and everything that Walter Payton has made, not only to the franchise, but to the National Football League and to the city of Chicago. And I thought it would be fitting if the Chicago Bears and the McCaskey family offered the Payton family 1% ownership because of what Walter means and meant to the franchise. Papa Bear George Halas loved Walter Payton. He simply loved him. And Walter, again, put that franchise on his back because he loved the Bears. He loved the city of Chicago. And he was just a good, sound man. And unfortunately, he left us way too soon. But because of everything that he's done for the city of Chicago and the franchise, I truly believe that that organization should offer the Payton family 1% ownership. I think it's just simply the right thing to do. I understand the National Football League and giving them the honor, the Walter Payton Award to the best player that exemplifies the type of player that Walter was on and off the field. But to me, it goes a little bit further. And Eddie, you say, well, if that happens, and I would love to see it in my time for that to happen, but you kind of think that if that happens, that other franchise, other organizations around the league will be presented from other outstanding players, i.e. we mentioned Jim Brown, even though the Cleveland Browns, well, you know, but we talk about Jim Brown and other franchise and organizations maybe wanted to honor their respective players from their respective cities. But if that's the case, I don't see a problem with it, but you think it may start a whole new snowball effect, correct?
Well, I do. I think that if the first team that steps forward starts rewarding former players with a percentage of the franchise, would open the door for you can go back and way back into Marion Motley, you know, and give his family part of the franchise, 1%. And we just think, what is 1%? But you're talking about giving away over $40 million. And the owners in the National Football League are the most together group of professional owners in the world. So they're not going to want to share. It's my belief. And I'm not an expert. But they're not going to want to give $40 million to somebody that they only gave $3 or $4 million to play. And they're going to say, we compensated our players well when they played. We're not obligated to give them part of a franchise that we built. So, you know, when you're in, you're in. When you're out, you're out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate because Walter Payton, your brother, actually was trying to get a franchise, become an owner, a minority owner with the St. Louis Rams, you know, back in the late 90s. And unfortunately, those same owners, of course, it's changed here and there, but those owners voted against Walter Payton becoming a minority. He would have been a majority owner, but he would have been the first minority to own an NFL team. And if you can share that story, I know that he was very devastated of that news because of the contributions that he made on and off the field. And he thought that his peers or, you know, his new peers, as far as the owners were concerned, would respect that and honor that, because he had the financial backing as well. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I don't know where the dollars and cents were, but I know that one of his business partners, a gentleman named Irfwan out of St. Louis, was going to be the money guy. and Walter was going to be the management guy, and they thought they'd make a great team. And there was another guy, another gentleman, it was three of them that were going to be owners. And the problem existed just like most people. When you get close to it, everybody starts wanting to be number uno. So the other, it's alleged and that the other two owners, would-be owners, got to arguing about what percentage each one would have. And Walter ended up the major loser in the operation.
Yeah.
He had put a couple of years of his life into preparing, promoting the franchise, and he would have been the first majority owner of an NFL franchise, and everybody was on board. Everybody was excited about it. We were excited about it because it would be a fitting reward for what he did for the National Football League and the Chicago Bears.
We all were ecstatic and elated and happy and anticipating a positive response, a positive reaction. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. Eddie, before we let you go, we got a caller joining us. Has a Walter Payton story. He's Jim. He's calling from somewhere in Chicago. Jim, welcome to the Santita Jackson Show. Jerry Riles filling in. Eddie Payton, our guest on our hotline. Jim, what's on your mind?
Good morning, Eddie, your brother was just a rookie. He wasn't playing yet. I was in a bear at the Hilton, and they're all staying in L.A. All the Bears are staying in L.A. So I went up to Walter. I said, can you give me a shake for luck? Well, I'm a pretty big guy. And he twisted me around so fast. He was just in line with all the Bears. I knew he was going to be great because I saw him in that All-Star game down in Mississippi. But he was the nicest guy in the world. And it's all right to say, Eddie. And have a good morning. Thank you.
Jim, thank you for your call. Hey, Eddie, before we let you go, I mean, that was your brother, and of course, that's you as well. And I mean, kudos to your parents and your mom in particular, I believe, because she, from what I've read and from what I've heard, your mom didn't take any stuff.
And neither did my father. I mean, my father wasn't the most religious guy in the world. He was a believer.
Mm-hmm.
But his knowledge of the Bible was basically limited to his favorite Bible passage. Spare the rod, spoil the child. And he didn't do that. And we learned to respect others, to respect ourselves, and try to be the best that we could all the way. And what Jerry said about Walter playing around, Walter was an athlete who was blessed enough to be put in a situation with other great athletes, and along with his work ethic, became one of the greatest football players the world has ever known. And you can look at it and say he didn't make enough, he wasn't big enough, he wasn't fast enough. But, you know, you can outwork any limitations that people say that you have.
And he certainly did that.
That's what he did. And he enjoyed the people. He always said he played as hard as he could every game, not for the people who sit in the box seats, but the guy who sits on the rim of Soldier Field with his wife and two kids that's worked 2 or 3 months to save money from their budget to buy tickets. And Walter didn't want to make it be an uneventful trip, so he played hard for that guy, and he appreciated that guy because that guy made him who he was.
And that guy deserves 1% ownership of the storybook franchise, the Chicago Bears. Eddie Payton, thank you so very much for joining us, man. We got to run, but we appreciate you. Always love talking with you, my good friend, and we'll certainly be in contact. Thank you.
Jerry, anytime that you call, you know I'm going to answer. I don't care if you do call at 6:30 in the morning.
Well, I know you. I know you're taking a break from fishing, man, at the pond. So you rise and shine pretty early, my good friend. But I do appreciate you and thank you. And the check is in the mail, my good friend.
Keep up the good work and tell Miss Jackson she better watch it.
You got it. Eddie Payne joining us. Take care, brother. We'll talk to you. More on the Santita Jackson Show coming up right after the short timeout. Don't touch that dial, ladies and gentlemen. We got more in store for you. It's Jerry Riles, the Santita Jackson Show.
This is the Santita Jackson Show.
Determined, unstoppable, achieving the impossible. We're standing tall with our heads held high. We are victorious.
Welcome back to the Santita Jackson Show. Yours truly, Jerry Riles, filling in for the lovely, talented, outstanding Santita Jackson. She is taking care of her parents, the Reverend Jessie L. Jackson, and of course her beautiful mom, Jacqueline Jackson. I love Jacqueline. She is a fireball in her own right, and she holds down the fort. That little firecracker boy, she is quite something. She's a great spirit, just a great, beautiful Black queen, and we wish her all the best. She's out of ICU. She and the Reverend came down with COVID-19, the virus. She was not vaccinated. The Reverend was, and she was in ICU, and she has been moved to a normal room now. So our prayers and blessings go out to the Jackson family. But Santita, we miss you. We love you, and we got your back. We got your back and all the support, but appreciate the opportunity. Mark Penske, the general manager here at WCPT, asked yours truly, Jerry Riles, to fill in for. And I know they're big shoes to fill, but I'm pleased and honored to have the opportunity to hold down the fort for you, Santita. So take the time you need, do what you have to, and let's get the family back in shape, get them strong and vibrant, and continue to make a positive impact not only here in the city of Chicago, but the great United States and, of course, this world that we live in. 8 minutes after the hour here, WCPT 8:20 a.m. Now, Paul, Paul Shivari, our producer here for the Santita Jackson Show. Paul, you know, we talk sports a lot, and we love our local teams, and I used to be a little bit athletic. I used to get out there and do all that good stuff, right? But
me, not so much. Though.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's me now because I'm a little bit long in the tooth now, and I may do a push up here and there, a sit up here and there, and maybe run to the refrigerator to get a nice snack or a cold beverage. But I got to tell you, man, when I heard this news and I read this story, and I'm going to share it with the listening audience. Listen, when I heard about this, that my good friend, I love her to death, and had an opportunity to grace the newsrooms at WGN Channel 9 with her for a short period of time. But when I heard the news and read the story, man, let me tell you something. I jumped up out of the sofa from watching, whatever sporting event I was watching, raced to the door, ran down the street, wailing with my arms all over the place and screaming up and down the street. I live in a nice, quiet neighborhood. And this Black guy running down the street screaming and yelling, and the neighbors look out, what the hell's going on? I'm telling you, this lady made me jump up out of my chair and run down the street screaming with joy and excitement for the fact that she has taken her career to new heights, a new level. And I want to share this with the listening audience. This was on the WGN web desk about a month ago, July 26, 2021. This fall, WGN TV will be launching an hour-long lifestyle show, Daytime Chicago, in the 10 o'clock slot. Rachel Ray will be moving to later in the afternoon. Co-host, this is the lady that made me get up out of my chair and run down the street screaming. Tanya Francisco and Amy Rutledge will be hosting a weekday lifestyle and entertainment show, which will cover various topics specific to Chicagoans. It'll feature health, decor, cooking, travel, and more. The show will debut this programming for our viewers with Daytime Chicago 5 days a week. WGN-TV will soon be airing 81 hours of weekly live local programming. That's a comment from Paul Rennie, the WGN-TV Vice President and General Manager. His quote says, Tanya and Amy are Chicago's very own seasoned veterans who know our market inside and out. They will be a fantastic duo. They certainly will. Here's a little bit about Tanya Francisco. I love this woman. Tanya Francisco, an award-winning journalist, joined WGN News in 2012 and currently anchors WGN Weekend Morning News. Prior to that, Tanya was a general assignment reporter and fill-in anchor for WGN-TV. She joined CLTV in 2002 and was soon after named the morning anchor. Tanya is a proud alum of Whitney Young Magnet High School and a graduate of the University of Illinois Chicago. She is also a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, go on, girl, and the National Association of Black Journalists. Tanya Francisco joins us on the Santita Jackson Show here at WCPT 820 AM on our hotline. Tanya, welcome. Good morning to you. How are you? Congratulations, Tanya Francisco.
Good morning, Jerry. What an intro. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. The check is in the mail. I couldn't have paid for a better intro.
Let me tell you something. It's well-deserved, and it's true. I swear to you, when I heard that news and I said, are you kidding me? I jumped up and ran down the street screaming because I am a big, big fan of Tanya Francisco. And I followed your career as just shared with you joining WCLTV back in 2002. And of course, we were in the newsroom together for a year or two, a couple of years. But I've always been a big fan of you. And aside from what you do, but of course, a big fan of your work, Tanya. And I just wanted to get you on and congratulate you personally and wish you all the luck, my girl. You are fantastic.
Thank you, Jerry. Hey, first of all, I do want to send my prayers out to Reverend Jackson and Ms. Jacqueline. I do hope that they recover well and soon and not have any of the lingering effects of COVID-19. That really took me by surprise when we first learned about that. So first of all, I just want to add my prayers to the list of many that are going out for them. I hope they are doing well. But yes, thank you so very much. I appreciate it. I'm excited. It's a brand new opportunity. Like we were talking a little bit about last night, flexing a different muscle here. You know, for all those years, I've been doing what they consider hard news, you know, the news of the day, whatever is going on, be it weather. I've done my share of weather stories, you know, whether it's cold, whether it's hot, they have me out there. In the rain, in the sunshine, I'm there sweating it out for you or trying to hold that hair together when it's raining on
right.
You know. And then I've been out there, unfortunately and sadly, and all too often covering the murder and the mayhem that take place in the streets of Chicago very hard. And I've done it in the early morning hours. I've done it late at night. And so, you know, when this opportunity came by, it was a chance for me to actually flex a different muscle. And it's different, but I'm excited because now I get to lighten things up, you know. I'm from Chicago. This is home. And now I get to highlight some of my favorite things about this city and some of the things I hear and I'm privy to. And it's just exciting, along with Amy. Amy worked with us for a number of years. I think you were in the newsroom when Amy was there.
So. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, it's our take on things. It's not, you know, this is what we consider a break. It's that reprieve. As you pointed out, WGN is now doing 81 hours of news a week. 81. I mean, we're just steps away from being 24 hours like CNN, right? So every once in a while, you need to take a breath. You need to step away, grab some coffee, grab some gin and juice, whatever it is you want to do. You know, get some wine or whatever. Just wind down for a second. Just take a step away.
Right,
and
right.
That's what we're here for, and that is exactly what we're here for. We're just going to take a lighter look at things that are going on, some things that may interest you. Maybe we'll point out something you weren't even aware of. You know, we're going to be teaching you how to pamper yourself.
Right, right.
Make yourself look fabulous. So fix that fabulous meal. Or like I said, you need some wine. We can help you figure out your favorite wines. You might want some beer. You might want to try some beer. And it's not just for the ladies now. You know, the gentlemen can tune in too. We know how to have a little fun. Everybody can get in on the mix. You know?
Yeah. And that's what I love about it, Tanya. As you talked about, we're on with Tanya Francisco, the new the new host of the WGN. Well, do we say WGN Channel 9 new daytime Chicago host or just new daytime Chicago host?
Chicago.
Yeah.
Daytime Chicago.
Daytime Chicago.
Yeah.
But I appreciate that. But the reason I was so ecstatic is the fact that, of course, you've done the hard news. You've done the assignment reporting and the anchoring. And, of course, as you talked about, you've done the weather. But there's a different side of Tanya Francisco. There's a real side. On our sports show, we say real sports, real talk, just plain real. And I was so ecstatic and excited for the simple fact that I know that Tanya Francisco is real and you're a Chicago homegrown product. And so there are some stories out there. There are some stories out there and some people out there and some things out there that Chicagoans aren't really aware of but don't know about. And I know you are the right person to bring Chicago to Chicago. And I'm really looking forward to that. And you talked about the gin and juice and the wine and, you know, but you are that right person for this because you are real and you represent the people of Chicago. And that's what I appreciate you for and love this opportunity for you.
Thank you, Jerry. I mean, I don't think I could have lasted this long if I wasn't who I am. You know, you hear this phrase, authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just always believed in being real. No one wants to invite you into their home. No one wants to listen to you, watch you, believe you, unless you are being real and honest with them. And I'm always like that. How you hear me on this phone is how you hear me when I'm sitting at that anchor desk,
mm-hmm.
or when I'm out there in the field. I'm real. When I do my stories, I keep a certain person in mind, and that's my mother. And so that keeps me honest, but it also keeps me grounded. So if this is something that my mother would approve of, okay, I'm cool with that. My mother's a fun person, too. But so I say that to say my mother's watching, as long as my aunts and uncles and all my family, because they're all here in Chicago. So
mm-hmm.
I have ownership that I have to keep with them so that they can keep me honest and keep me grounded. But at the same time, they are also keeping me real. I don't get out of myself. I'm still, you know, that good old Tanya Francisco. People that went to high school with me call me T-Fran.
Right.
You know, all my friends call me T or what have you. I'm just that person. I'm not, I'm telling stories that you want to hear, and I'm telling them to you in a way that you want to hear them so that you can relate and so that you can feel good about it or get something from it. That's always been my mission. I need to make sure you're connected. We're connecting. We're vibing here. You know, if you can see me right now, I'm like, we're vibing here. And that's just how I approach telling stories. If there's nothing I care about, I'm thinking, more than likely somebody else doesn't care about it. But if it's something you need to know, I'm going to make sure you figure it out and we're going to work together and make it all work out.
So
that's just what we're doing here on Daytime Chicago. Just having a little fun and giving everybody a break and a reprieve from all the stuff that's happening around us. And trust me, we are not short on all the stuff that's happening around us.
That's exactly right, Tanya. You know, and it's interesting. I've always admired your writing style and your impeccable storytelling. You are certainly at the top of the list when it comes to that. You deliver a great product every time that you grace the airwaves here in the Chicagoland market. But I wanted to ask you regarding, you know, the incredible year that all of us have gone through in 2020 with the pandemic, you know, Zoom became the room and you had to file reports and do things from your living room. I can remember watching Tanya Francisco, you know, getting herself all, you know, ready and, you know, for the computer, the Zoom camera. How was that experience for you as a traditional reporter, journalist, having now to you know, transition to doing your stories via Zoom based on, you know, the 2020 pandemic that we endured?
Yeah, well, you know, we had to make it happen. The news didn't stop. In fact, it got more important, if nothing else. And we just had to figure a way to make sure that we could make it happen. So we were learning along the way. Someone figured something out, and they were passing information along. No one knew what Zoom was. At least I didn't know what Zoom was
mm-hmm.
before the pandemic hit. One of my colleagues says, hey, I've been doing these interviews on Zoom. And so we'd go talk to our operations manager, and he'd say, well, yeah, we can record it, and we can do this. We had to figure out along the way how to keep the news going, how to make it happen. And believe it or not, all those Instagrammers and social media folks, they taught us about ring lights. I didn't know anything about ring lights.
Right, right.
I quickly got a lesson in ring lights.
Right, right.
If you don't have a ring light, you're in the dark, nobody can see you. So we had to kind of draw from everybody. We had to draw from social media. How do you get the video? How do you get the interview on the air? We were learning along the way. So people at home were coming along. And this is a period in time, I'm sure, in the journalism classes of the future, they will talk about how television news had to pivot. All that fancy equipment we had, it was useless because
right.
we couldn't use it in the way we had traditionally used it. So we had to find new ways. Became the cameras mounted on your computers. Became your telephones. Many a times we were doing live shots with our telephones. We installed apps, and I set up that telephone right there in my house. I put it on a light stand, and we were going live from right there in my house. And a lot of people probably noticed those puzzles that were behind me. By the way, those were puzzles that my husband and I put together years ago when we first started dating, and we matted them and framed them. But anyway, but we were learning and changing along the way.
Mm-hmm.
The news doesn't stop, and we couldn't stop bringing it to you. It was important information that people needed. We couldn't really go into homes because there were quarantines. So we had to figure out how can we interview people who have stories to tell, have information to share. So it was one of those things. It was an evolutionary period. It was actually kind of exciting because we had to figure it out. It became more of a mission. You know, the mission of news is to educate people. It's not necessarily to bring information that people already have. It's information you need, information you have to know. We were learning about COVID-19, and when we had information that was important, that was credible, that was verified as much as it could be, we had to bring it to the people. They needed to know. They needed to know how to protect themselves. They needed to know what they could do in the way of how do you go grocery shopping safely? How do you, should you still go to the doctor's office? Should you go into your office? How should you protect yourself? Washing hands, wearing masks, talking to doctors. It was important, and we just felt that it was a mission, and it just had to happen. However we got it done, we got it done.
And you certainly did. No question about it. We're joined with Tanya Francisco on our hotline. She's the new host of Daytime Chicago. Now, the show, it's an hour show from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m.?
Yep, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. on WGN. So we fit right in between the morning news and the midday news. So that's why I say we're your break. You're not going to see any news on the show. We've purposely decided not to do that. We're just going to bring you the lighter things that are happening. Some of the funnier things, the lighter moments. You know, for our first show, we're going to have Chef Mario Rosati on talking mm-hmm. about some of his favorite dishes. We're going to be talking to a woman how to make champagne cocktails. Hello. I mean, there's interesting things that are out there happening. You know, imagine if you're sitting there in your case with your friends, your boys, you know, just talking about some of the stuff that's going on. Water cooler talk. If you're in the office or if you're still taking Zoom calls and you're just sitting there chit-chatting about what's going on in the world. We are going to be your respite for that hour of the day.
I love it. I love it. And so how did so
Can
so
you?
Paul
are you
Rennie
there, Jerry?
Listen.
Hello?
Listen.
What happened?
Tanya.
I think I lost him.
No, you're here. You're here. Can you hear me? Tanya. Uh-oh. Paul Shavari, I think we, did we lose Tanya Francisco? We're on with Tanya Francisco. She's the new host of Daytime Chicago. You can see it at 10 a.m. Monday through Friday on WGN Channel 9. Tanya Francisco and Amy Rutledge to host the Daytime Chicago show this fall. Tanya, can you hear me? I think we lost her. If you want to join in, our number here is 773-763-9278, 773-763-WCPT. Jerry Riles filling in for the great Santita Jackson, who is out on leave, as you well know, if you don't know, taking care of her, her parents. Tanya Francisco, I don't know. We just we lost her somehow, but we'll try to get her back if we can. If not, we'll catch up with her down the road. But if you have anything you want to address regarding the show, Santita Jackson Show, number 773-763-9278, 773-763-WCPT. I am excited and ecstatic to see this show. And it's interesting with daytime television. There's so much happening as far as the landscape is concerned. And I wanted to ask Tanya Francisco, when Paul Rennie, the WGN-TV vice president and general manager, presented the opportunity to her and Amy, you know, again, her reaction, and how did they come up with the tandem, the dynamic duo of Amy Rutledge and Tanya Francisco? I Tanya, again, a homegrown product of Chicago, Illinois, attending Whitney Young High School and graduating from the University of Illinois, Chicago. Amy, an award-winning journalist in her own right, spent many years as a reporter at WGN-TV starting in 2005. She took a brief break from Chicago and moved to, check this out, Shanghai, China, where she helped launch Shanghai's first and only English-speaking newscast. Amy... she goes back a long way as well. I was just kind of interested and curious as to how did that tandem come together. But whatever the case may be, I think they're going to do a fantastic job. And again, the way that the landscape is changing for television, in particular Chicago, there's certainly a lot going on. And midday programming is very vital. So I'm glad that Tanya is getting the opportunity. We know that another Chicago product, Tamron Hall, just launched her show this week, and she's getting great reviews as well. And Tamara, a longtime favorite here in the Chicagoland market, it's great to see her back home, so to speak. I think they're doing a show out of New York, but obviously it's airing in the major market. So Tamron Hall, congratulations to her. But again, Tanya Francisco is outstanding. Paul, I think we lost Tanya, but... she was a breath of fresh air, and I'm happy for her, and hopefully we'll get an opportunity down the road to talk to her well. But I ask everyone to really support this show. It's a lot to expect and look forward to, and Tanya certainly and Amy, they can certainly feel the void there. I think we got to take a short time out, and don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. I like to say it's the fastest hour in sports conversation. Again, filling in for Santita Jackson on the Santita Jackson Show. It's the fastest 2 hours in news conversation. We got another important guest and another important topic to discuss. It's all Chicago. I love Chicago. Born and raised, work, the whole nine yards. Play, it's Chicago. It's the Santita Jackson Show. It's Jerry Riles, WCPT 820 AM. More coming up right after this short time out.
This is the Santita Jackson Show.
Determined, unstoppable, achieving the impossible. We're standing tall with our heads held high. We are victorious.
I love this theme music for Santita Jackson Show. It's inspiring, it's motivating, and... just makes you want to get up and go, man. Happy Wednesday hump day to you, September 8th. WCPT, make it a great day, ladies and gentlemen. Jerry Riles filling in for the great Santita Jackson. Hope everything is going well with the family. The Reverend Jesse L. Jackson Sr. and, of course, his beautiful wife, Jacqueline, who they got it. COVID, the virus. 19, and Jacqueline, who had not been vaccinated, actually was in ICU, but she has most recently been moved to a normal room at Northwestern Hospital. So Santita is making sure that her parents are doing well, and we can get them back to full recovery and get them back out there making a positive impact in the city and, of course, the country and the world. And we certainly miss you, Santita, and our prayers are out with you and the family. No question about it. But, hey, we'll hold down the fort and do the best we can until you return. It's been a really fast show. Paul Shavari, our producer, it's been a really fast show. And if people, Paul, if they miss any portion of this show, the Santita Jackson Show, on this Wednesday, September 8th, from 6A to 8A, how can they find it?
They could go to our SoundCloud page, just search for WCPT 820. We archive just about every live show that we do here on that page. You could also go to the website, WCPT820.com, and we have links to that page as well.
Well, good. Thank you so much. Now, I know people, you know, you're used to Santita, and, you know, she has some hardcore topics of discussion and some outstanding guests to really break down those particular discussions. We've taken a different approach. I am the executive producer of the Rewind Sports 60 and the host. And, you know, so we talk sports. But, you know, it's not always the X's and O's. It's not always what's going on the field and on the court. But things that happen outside of that, we like to talk about. Over the past year, of course, we talked about Black Lives Matter and the protesting and Colin Kaepernick and the kneeling and all of that stuff. Because, you know, sports is the only politics, as they say, right? And so we bring a different flair, a different perspective to the world of sports. And that's why the Rewind Sports 60, Real Sports, Real Talk, Just Playing Real, is important and vital. And we want you to certainly be a part of that. But we keep on addressing the world of sports. And here in Chicago, there is a quiet conversation that's brewing. And I think a lot of people aren't really... they may not be aware, they may not be familiar, they may not even really be paying close attention to it, but it's a conversation that's been out there. And congratulations to former president, or, you know, Barack Obama, and the announcement and the movement of the Obama Presidential Center that's actually underway as far as construction. Well, they're starting the breaking the ground and landscaping and all that good stuff over on the south side in the Hyde Park area. And I know it's probably going to take at least 3 to 5 years for the completion of the Obama Presidential Center, which is going to be a phenomenal for the city of Chicago. And already on the map, no question about it. But with this Obama Presidential Center, it's going to attract millions of people from across the world. But there's another sidebar story to that, and it still has some questions out there, but I think it's moving forward. Quietly but surely, I think it's moving forward, and that is the restoration or renovation of the Jackson Park Golf Course that sits right over there off of Lakeshore Drive, around 6400 South, and it rests somewhere between the Hyde Park community and the South Shore community. In Tiger Woods, back in, was it 2015 or so? I may have the year wrong, but President Obama reached out to Tiger Woods and asked him if he would be interested in bringing a golf course, well, making some improvements to the Jackson Park Golf Course over there on Lakeshore Drive. And Tiger Woods, you know, playing in one of his last Masters, said, yes, I would be very much interested in trying to improve the Jackson Park Golf Course over there. And so the plan is on. Well, the word got out to some people in the community, and I got to tell you, it's a historic golf course. I love it. It is fantastic. They've made incredible improvements over there over the past few years, and it is the only 18-hole golf course in the city of Chicago, and one of the busiest in the state for sure, if not the country. But it's a quiet kept secret over there, and a lot of the residents, African Americans who live in the community, Hyde Park or South Shore or the southern suburbs, frequent the facility to play because of its location, because of a historic name. It's been around since 1899. But once they got the wind that Tiger Woods and his team are looking to make some improvements, the TGR team of Tiger Woods, there started to hear some rumblings. Because a lot of the course itself is affordable to the people in the community. I think it runs somewhere about $30, $35 for 18 holes. I think another $18 for a golf cart. And you can walk it, you can drive it, but it's a great golf course, and it's a playable golf course. But with Tiger Woods and his team talking about coming in and making changes to make it a PGA qualified course, so you can bring in play from around the world and spectators and visitors from around the world, the rumblings and the grumblings are that it's going to raise the prices and price out those people who currently frequent play over there, that they won't have an opportunity to play anymore. And I wanted to get our next guest on. I love this guy. He is fantastic. He is Chicago. He knows Chicago inside and out. Dr. Gerard McClendon is a leading intellectual voice in education. He is an associate professor in education policy at Chicago State University and the author of President Thug, Donda's Rules, and Ask or Ask. McClendon has earned an Emmy Award for his PBS production on the challenge of raising black boys. He is the director of the documentary film Forgiving Cain. McClendon holds a PhD from Loyola University here in Chicago. His research agenda focuses on teachers' perceptions of language, culture, and skin color. We welcome to the Santita Jackson Show on WCPT 820 AM. I love him. He's the best. He's Dr. Gerard McClendon. Doc, how are you?
Jerry Riles, you know the pleasure is always mine to be on WCPT. Man, sports the only politic. God bless you guys. You know, I want to start by saying that it's nice that you're filling in today for the Princess Santita Jackson, and we're definitely sending our prayers to the family for a speedy recovery. Jerry Riles. Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. She is outstanding. And when Mark Penske, the general manager, gave me a call and asked me if I were available to fill in for, after I picked myself up off the floor and picked up the phone, I said, yes, sir, I certainly am available to fill in. You say the princess, I call her the queen. Santita Jackson, it's an honor and a pleasure to have an opportunity to sit in this seat for 2 hours to talk to her fans and her audience in the city of Chicago. And it's a pleasure to have you on, Dr. Gerard McClendon. Thank you so very much this morning for coming on. But Doc, you know, you've heard the stories and the rumblings, and you know, I've been talking with folks, and I there are mixed messages, and that's why I wanted to have you on to talk about it, because you are Chicago, you are an expert, and you're one of the most intelligent people that I personally know, and I wanted to pick your brain and get your insights as far as your perspective from the talks of Tiger Woods teaming up, so to speak, with President Barack Obama and bringing a PGA golf course not only to the city of Chicago, but to the South Side in the particular neighborhoods of South Shore and Hyde Park. Your thoughts when you heard about that?
I think it's fantastic. You know, but one of the concerns is making everybody happy. Here's the thing. The star power is there, right? You've got Tiger Woods. You've got President Barack Obama. Star power is not the issue. But anytime you want to do something this Herculean, you're in a situation where you have to try to please everyone, which is nearly impossible. When it comes to not-for-profit dollars as well as for-profit dollars, and putting and making a golf course with Tiger's name on it on the South Side of Chicago, that sounds grandiose and it sounds beautiful. Mm-hmm. But if the park district isn't happy, if the residents in the neighborhood aren't happy, if gentrification is going to damage portions of the population and property taxes, if eminent domain kicks in where a person's home may be worth $110,000, but they try to show you $75,000. See, these are the things that will make things difficult. Also, the golf course is going to have to shore up its fundraising as well. See, that's the thing. When you've got a billionaire in the mix like Tiger Woods, that's nice, but we know that billionaires don't don't always like to use all of their money to shore up a project. So you've got to get not-for-profit dollars in. You have to get other partners in to agree. But the most important people to agree are the citizens of Chicago, because that whole neighborhood is going to be disrupted. And if the people in the neighborhood don't feel satisfied with the disruption, things can be precarious.
But Gerard, some folks are saying that, you know, it's needed because this is going to weed out or eliminate the criminal elements that may surround the particular areas. Because remember, Inglewood is not too far away from there. We talk about South Shore and we talk about High Park neighborhoods. But when you branch out, the Inglewood neighborhoods are there. And we know that you talked about the property value. It's very low. And you talk about the elements of crime. And of course, the presidential center being built in that particular area. Some folks are saying this is going to clean up the neighborhood. It's going to clean out the undesirables and make it more affordable and make it more reasonable for families to reside in that area as opposed to what's currently going on. How do you address that?
Absolutely. If I lived in the neighborhood, I probably would be amenable to it. I probably would accept the fact that Tiger Woods is putting his name and his resources behind the course, and that would be a proud day for me to live near a Tiger Woods golf course, you know, in the city of Chicago where PGA tournaments will land. However, if the criminal element leaves that area, it has to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And many times what happens is people will get the Raid out, right?
Right.
They'll get the Raid out spray and not realize that the problem, the vermin, the criminal element has escaped to a different neighborhood, making it worse. So, see, this is a Chicago issue, not to spray and scatter criminal issues, but to put more funding into not just the Tiger Woods Library and the Obama Center, but to put more funding into health care, into mental health, into hospitals, into care for the homeless, or you have to put more resources into educational institutions so that people will have options. That's the whole point. If you don't create options for people,
mm-hmm.
the criminal element will pervade.
Yeah, and well, you know, we know Chicago, and my motto for Chicago, I love the city, I certainly do, but I always say Chicago, the city that works. The city that works against you. And in this case, there are a lot of people, again, in South Shore neighborhood communities and Hyde Park that feel that, you know, it's a threat and that the city is not working for them. And at the end of the day, Gerard, we've seen it. You talk about the criminal element that has to go somewhere. I mean, it's happening currently right now in the Humboldt Park area. I know you're a long life Chicagoan and you know how Humboldt Park was on the near, you know, northwest side. It was really scary to even drive down North Avenue or, Chicago Avenue, whatever the case may be, past Humboldt Park. But now they're erecting condos, converting those homes into condos. And you see a diverse group of people, you know, walking, you know, down the street with a baby carriage and their dogs and everything. The Chicago way of working is working before our eyes right in the Humboldt Park area. We look at what happened on West Madison. That area now, I mean, if we remember back from the 60s, right? That, the old Mayor Daley was like, hey, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King, if you come here and cause a mayhem and destroy that part of the city, I'm not going to put another penny in there. And of course, we saw how the West Side, how dismal it had been for years. And now you see West Madison just east of the United Center, how flourishing the West Loop is now. So the same premise is, I believe, is taking place regarding the Presidential Center and the possibility of this golf course that the city of Chicago, whether it's Mayor Lightfoot, Rahm Emanuel, or whoever, you know, may be mayor at the time, are looking to put a facelift on communities that sends or leaves a dark cloud nationally over this city.
Yes.
I mean, that's we've seen this before.
And that's a leadership issue. That's a leadership issue. And this is why Mayor Lori Lightfoot needs to get out in front of issues as opposed to leading from behind. You have to be at the forefront of an issue and make things happen. You have to look at something 30, 60, 90 days ahead of time, if not 2 to 3 years ahead of time, so that you can eradicate problems that may surface. You know, you have to be a visionary. And that's something that I've seen lacking in the city of Chicago for decades now. Visionary leadership. You know, when you look, for instance, I'm overlooking what right now? Grant Park, Buckingham Fountain, and I'm looking at Michigan Avenue to DuSable Drive right now. Now, I'm looking at how beautiful the park area is. Right. You know, you can have a Lollapalooza downtown. They can trash the park area. They can trash the grass. But a few days later, their sod put right back in Grant Park to make it better that quickly.
Right.
You know, you look at certain areas and pockets in the city and they are well taken care of. And then you look at some of the other parts of the city that have been neglected for decades. That's a lack of leadership. That's a lack of resources and a lack of responsibility from on high. And that's something that we have to seriously look at in this city. I sure hope that the Tiger Woods golf course happens, that the PGA tournaments come here, that neighborhoods get better. I'm sure all that can happen. But what about the pocket neighborhoods that are still being neglected in the city? That's what's problematic.
Yeah, it is problematic. But again, when you talk about visionary, we touch on what's going on with Humboldt Park and the 606 that goes around there. We talk about, you know, the West Loop, how much that is flourishing. I think and it started with Mayor Rahm Emanuel as far as this project was concerned, and then of course Lori Lightfoot is at the helm right now. But I think the vision is to bring this professional PGA golf course to the city of Chicago. Again, Jackson Park, the only 18-hole golf course in the city. I think the mayor's looked at it and say, you know what, if we got the Presidential Center here, which is going to be a draw, we're going to have this golf course here. It's just going to attract millions of people from around the world, dignitaries from around the world, and host a couple of PGA tournaments here. And we know the golf season goes a lot longer. You know, than expected. This is a vision that I think the administration is looking for and say, hey, this is something that we certainly need. Now, Dr. Gerard McClendon, the associate professor at Chicago State University, joining us on a Santita Jackson show on this Wednesday. I guess the question is, or the dilemma is to figure out developers and contractors. Who's going to get the contract to, you know, to erect this? Because we remember when Mayor Daley wanted the Olympics here in Chicago, the Rio Olympics, and unfortunately we did not get it. There were a lot of developers who were upset with the city and the mayor and his administration that, you know, they were anticipating and counting on, you know, getting these bids, these contracts, and it didn't happen. How does that work into play as far as the minority contractors in the city in those particular areas who are looking to get, you know, a piece of the pie?
Yeah, it's always hovered below 20%. Some years it's hovered below 10. The majority of the years it's hovered below 3%. You know, when you look at the population in Chicago, major contracts in Chicago, 30% of major contracts should be African-American, should be garnered by African-American.
Mm-hmm.
That's a baseline. That's just a framework. You know, and if you can't do that, something is systemically wrong with contracting in the city. Like I said, I want the golf course to be here because golf courses that are PGA courses bring what? Massive prestige to the city. You know, to see a major golf tournament on ESPN or on any sports network, national, international TV, broadcasting live from Chicago, that is huge. What I'm worried about, though, are contracts and jobs. How many jobs will this golf course garner for the citizens of Chicago who live in compromised communities? That's the question. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about multi-billion dollar contractors who always get the contracts. That doesn't excite me. What excites me is young people who can get jobs, gainfully employed by a PGA golf course in Chicago. That's what excites me.
Yeah,
that's what's exciting. You know, young people that can be educated, young people that can play on this golf course. That's the other issue. Once it becomes a PGA golf course, mm-hmm. will the people of Chicago even have access?
Right.
Because you know how pristine the fairways and the greens have to be on a PGA course. And so, we got a lot of issues here.
Yeah.
A lot of issues. We got to watch out for the gentrification. And, you know, that brand new movie, remake of Candyman, is out right now.
Yes, yes.
Which the subtext of the film is gentrification in Chicago. And so this is what we have to look at. Gentrification in and of itself as a word and as a noun is not a bad thing. Gentrification as an adverb or a verb is not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when it starts to run people out who once had stake in the community and may lose jobs, may lose homes, that's what becomes problematic. And unless you shore them up, then there is no victory.
Well, it's a tough one, no question about it. And we can continue to talk more and more with you about this, Dr. Gerard McClendon. But I we talked about Mayor Lightfoot, and it comes down to Mayor Lightfoot. It comes down to Tiger Woods people, and it comes down to the developer, the contractors who want those contracts. And that's again, the community in its own right. You know, you got four dynamics to try to find a happy medium to come together to please everybody. And unfortunately, you've been around the Chicagoland area all your life. I've been a product of Chicago for all my life. And, you know, again, Chicago, the city that works against you. But brother, hey, I love you. We can continue to talk more about this, but thank you so much for your time, your insight, and your education, and keep up the good work. If people want to find out more about the great Dr. Gerard McClendon, some of the projects that you've worked on, and how they can get a hold of you.
GerardMcClendon.com. Jerry Riles, thank you, because you are, Jerry Riles, the only politician.
God bless you, brother. You and your beautiful wife, Q, and I thank you guys for being there for me during the tough stretch. And I love you, brother, and keep making an impact, a positive impact in this city and amongst our people, my good friend.
Prayers to you, Jerry. Blessings.
You're the best. He's Dr. Gerard McClendon, associate professor, the education policy at Chicago State University, joining us on the Rewind Sports 60, joining us on the Santita Jackson Show. It's been a fast 2 hours. Paul Shavari, let's go. I thank you all for listening. I thank our guests for being a part of this great show. And we're, I believe, moments away from sending it off, but it's been a pleasure. It's been an honor. If you have any questions, if you miss any portion of the broadcast, you can definitely check it out on the WCPT820.com website. And where else again, Paul Shavari, can they find the show if
SoundCloud,
they miss it?
SoundCloud.com. Just search for WCPT820.
Okay. And again, we want to say thank you to our guest, the brother of the great late Walter Payton, former NFL player, Eddie Payton, joining us to talk about the Bears. I think 1% ownership of the franchise to the Payton family would go a long way, and I think it's well deserved, no question about it. We also want to say thank you to the new host of the Daytime Chicago scene on WGN Channel 9, Tanya Francisco, for joining us, and of course, the great Dr. Gerard McClendon talking about the Jackson Park Golf Course. Tiger Woods and his team are looking to restore, renovate, get up. But I want to say thank you so very much. It was an opportunity that I certainly couldn't pass up and didn't want to pass up. Thanks to Mark Penske for the invite, and of course Santita Jackson. We love you again, and prayers and thoughts out to the family, and a speedy recovery for sure, and looking forward to them getting back to some normalcy and making an impact. Paul Shavari, thank you so very much, man. It's good stuff, man. We'll see you soon. We'll talk to you, and good luck with the sports show, the Sports Cubicle on WCPT 820 AM.
Thanks, Jerry.